2172 relating to self-insurance programs managed by the Public Employee Benefit Board. This morning, our legislative fiscal office is represented by Dallas Wyan, and Gina Harrington is our assistant this morning. So let's go ahead and commence with having a legislative fiscal office analysis, just a brief review. Mr. Wyan?
Okay. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2172 provides some technical language that allows the Public Employees Benefit Board to take some administrative actions with respect to funding, self-funding for health insurance plans. They currently have the statutory authority to provide that as an option, but this is a technical bill to help them move along that path. This came out of the House Committee on Business and a lot of other things.
Business, labor, and consumer,
affairs. Thank you.
So many things died.
But this came out with unanimous approval. It was sent here by subsequent referral. And we have with us Mylea Christensen from the Public Employees Benefit Board to explain it.
Okay, Mylea, would you enter and sign in, and we'll go ahead and
we have David Hartwig, too.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, Representative Johnson. For the record, my name is Mylea Christensen. I'm the administrator of the Public Employees Benefit Board, and I have with me this morning David Hartwig, who is the administrator of the Risk Division of the Department of Administrative Services and also serving as the chair of the Public Employees Benefit Board this year. Briefly, for just the committee's pleasure, 2172 would provide PEB with the administrative language that's necessary to administer a self-insured program in the future if and when the board decides that it would be in the best interest to the state and employees. We'd just like to cover a couple of the highlights, talk a little bit about the self-insurance task force that PEB sponsored, and briefly discuss the technical changes. As you'll recall, PEB's mission by statute is to provide high-quality benefits at a cost that's affordable to state and employees. The board over its first 5 years has been very challenged by the marketplace and the dynamics and double-digit increases and projections that will continue in the future. As a result of that, PEB was also motivated in part because, in 2001, we issued a national request for proposal for medical benefits, and not a single national company responded to that request for proposal, and only a single carrier bid a statewide plan for state employees. In 2002, the board appointed a special task force to look at the issue of self-insurance. The task force invited all stakeholders to several public meetings to discuss self-insurance. These included currently contracted carriers and vendors, as well as insurance companies and other state agencies. PEB received input from the largest carriers, including Kaiser, ODS, Regents Blue Cross Blue Shield of Oregon, and the Standard Insurance Company. The board looked at the pros and cons of self-insurance and, in general, decided that there was a wide continuum of funding options, and PEB just wanted the opportunity to have self-insurance as part of those choices. Also of note, as was mentioned by Mr. Weiland, the board also invited the Attorney General to the task force to discuss PEB's authority to self-insure. The Attorney General did provide PEB with the information that it already has the broad authority, but what it needs is the technical language to be able to do payroll deductions and transfer funds for self-insurance. In summary, the task force and the board felt it was critical for PEB to have the option to self-insure, and felt it was very important to return to you to seek that clarification in administrative language. And Mr. Hartwig will share with you just briefly some of the board perspectives.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is David Hartwig. As Mylea said, I administer the Risk Management Division of Department of Administrative Services, and currently I'm chair of the Public Employees Benefits Board. In 1997, the legislature, in PEB's enabling statute of ORS 243, contains language that the board is authorized to employ whatever means are reasonably necessary to carry out the purposes of the statute. The statute further encourages the board to be innovative, creative, and flexible. And we believe that self-insurance as an option would enhance our ability to be creative, innovative, and flexible. In comparison, nationally, 68% of all employers self-insure. Cities, counties, and community colleges already are permitted to self-insure under ORS 731.036. Having the option to self-insure would promote more competition because it allows a variety of vendors to compete for PEP's business. We don't view self-funding as a silver bullet, but rather as a reasonable, necessary option for the board to consider during its annual benefits renewal process. Self-insurance provides PEB with a tool to pursue alternative programs. We see that this is vital to support our legislative mission to offer quality and affordability to employees and the state. As Mylea stated, House Bill 2172 is primarily geared for administrative issues regarding areas such as payroll deduction, fund designation, and clarification of terms used for self-insurance. In closing, we'd again ask your support for the bill. Thank you.
Thank you, David and Mylea. Can you give me just some flavor of what the possibility or what the potential of a self-insurance program might look like under a PEP? Would it? I assume that it would have some underpinnings of some other insurance, major carrier coverage at the other end, in addition to having some self-insurance. Can you kind of pin that together for me?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, and David may have some other comments he'd like to make. I think one of the things, the board actually does this annual review process and planning process, and I think one of the things they've acknowledged is that they might like to pilot some small projects, perhaps in 05, where they isolate just medical benefits in a given community, or they look at some subset of the benefits, perhaps just take a portion. And what they'd really like to do is spend the next year to 18 months developing plans and seeing if that remains the best option in the marketplace. So I think we'll be able to return to you with more details. I think from an employee perspective and from the state's perspective, obviously the goal to recruit and retain high-quality workers would still be very important to offer an array of benefits that would meet the needs.
So the task force didn't really give you any specific direction on what you should do, but did they agree with the opportunity to just go ahead and pilot something? Did that come out of the task force?
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the task force basically did a broad overview of what self-insurance entails, what the aspects are, how you would do it administratively, but came to a point of deciding we really needed to have the language clarified before we did more detailed analysis about how we would do that.
Okay. Other questions for Mylea or David? Let's go ahead then and open up a work session. Thank you very much. We'll open a work session on House Bill 2172 related to the self-insurance programs managed by the PEB Board. Representative Johnson?
Mr. Chair, looking for a motion at this point? I would move House Bill 2172 to full with a due pass recommendation.
You've heard the motion. Is there any objection? Hearing and seeing none, so ordered. And let's see. Let's go ahead at the same time with the Oregon Health Policy Research grant application. Let's open a work session on the grant itself. Dallas?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, you have before you a request for approval to apply for a federal grant from the Office of Health Policy and Research. This is simply for the opportunity for them to apply for a federal grant. The grant, if it's awarded, will be done so at the end of September, after which they will come forward to request an invitation from the Emergency Board. This is a grant that they had federal funding in the past to produce research on insurance options and ways to provide insurance to uninsured. This is a grant to help follow up on that. We have Mr. Bruce Goldberg here from the Office of Health Policy Research. If you have any questions.
I have a question.
Bruce, would you like to come forward and enter and sign in, please?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Winters, recognized.
My question is this grant to assist FEOP in doing some of its marketing work in order to try to get more individuals enrolled into FEOP?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, Goldberg, Administrator of the Office of Health Policy, Senator Winters, yes, part of what this grant will do is allow us to work with FEOP to help them both expand individual and employer-sponsored family health insurance assistance program coverage.
Follow up.
Will the money be used for any of it be used for staffing, or most of it be used for marketing?
Chair Butler, Senator Winters, be used for hopefully both. We will not for staffing, but we hope to use part of it to do a survey, to survey work with employers as well as individuals to see what it is that can be done that will help from their perspective to allow us to expand enrollment in both the individual as well as the employer market. And part of it will be used to help, I wouldn't say market, but to work with employers to expand coverage. There's not a lot of money in this grant, and we have to meet several goals to work with the Fed. So to do a large marketing proposal wouldn't be in the scope of the funds in this.
Follow-up, Senator.
I'm raising this because we have provided funds to FIA for the purpose of marketing and trying to do some outreach to get employers. And I just want to know if this was supplementing the effort that's already there and to what extent, you know, this supplement can help. Or is it something that the feds would like to obtain from us?
Bruce, this indicates it's an additional $150. What's the base amount of the grants?
The base amount of the grant, I believe, was $250,000, which was awarded in 2001, I believe, and expires in September.
And there's been no additional amount since that time?
No.
Okay, so this would bring the total amount of the grant that would be in play here to $400,000. Is that correct? $250,000.
I'm going to allow Mike to bring us up, if that's okay, up to speed on what the original grant was for. I was not here when the original grant was applied for.
For the record, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm Mike Wilfong, and I'm the Operations and Fiscal Manager for the Health Policy Research Office. The original grant awarded in September 2000 was for $1.5 million, and that was to address universal access at that time to health care benefits in a variety of surveys, research to address FEOP, what have you. An additional $193,000 was awarded in November of 2002, which is, again, that was used for research looking at OMIP, the Oregon Medical Assistance Program. That was used for FEOP research. That was also used for also some staffing was used.
So the universal access, Mike, was $1.5 million, and an additional for OMAP was $193,000 in November of 2001?
2002.
And then this $150,000 is for is an additional to the and is in addition to the existing grant, and the specific charge here will be?
Will allow us to do two things. Will allow us to, and to get at the answer to Senator Winter's question, it will allow us to supplement work that's been done in the past with FIA to work with expanding their enrollment, as well as it will allow us to work with community groups to help individuals look at ways to meet premium and copays. One of the biggest developments that we've seen in the Oregon Health Plan over the last year has been the implementation of premiums and copays. Over the past few months, we've seen actually community groups very interested in helping individuals in their communities meet premium payments. This has really done two things. It's helped allow individuals to remain on the Oregon Health Plan, as well as it's helped safety net clinics, which have tended to be the organizations that have helped sponsor premiums, meet their mission of providing health care to Oregon Health Plan as well as uninsured.
Well, this is some sort of an outreach, then, community outreach, to bring people onto the FEOP? Is that what we're talking
about? No, this would actually be to allow people to to meet co-pays and premiums for the Oregon Health Plan. Chair Butler, if I could back up.
Mr. Chair.
Senator, please.
And I'm just asking this question because I really would like to have this conversation also in my committee, since at some point, if they come back, to note, because there is a correlation between what we're doing with the Oregon Health Plan and what we're doing with the FEOP and the Insurance Governing Board, and I would just like to make certain that we're not going in different pathways.
Senator?
Chair Butler, Senator Winters, indeed we're not going in divergent pathways. What we know here in Oregon right now is that we have insurance opportunities available both under the Oregon Health Plan as well as in FEOP that are underutilized. And what this grant will allow us to do is work on strategies to help both maximize FEOP enrollment as well as Oregon Health Plan so that we can meet our state goals of lowering the rates of uninsurance.
Senator Representative Johnson.
Thank you. Thank you, Doctor, for your explanation. And you may not know the answer to this given your newness in the office, but as I add this together, $1.5 million and then almost another $2 million and then another $150,000 here, we're looking at roughly $2 million. Out of $2 million, can you give me an estimate of how many more Oregonians are insured as a result of this? Or is this all study and staff and how many more people have insurance as a result of this $2 million?
Chair Butler, Representative Johnson, uninsurance in the state actually has increased over the last 2 years. So to say and to be able to state to you that this grant has increased the numbers of insured, that's not correct. However, what I would say is that what this grant has allowed Oregon to do has been to keep the same numbers of people in the state insured as employers have dropped coverage. Most of this work went into the Oregon Health Plan 2 work, which really moved towards allowing us to develop two benefit packages under the Oregon Health Plan, an Oregon Health Plan Plus and an Oregon Health Plan Standard, which at the time really allowed this state to maintain its current levels of Oregon Health Plan coverage at a time when the state had diminished resources to put to the Oregon Health Plan.
Follow up,
Mr. Chair. Thank you, Doctor. Then the other piece of this that I'm not quite sure I understood from your explanation, you said that this $150,000 grant you're applying for today would help meet premiums and co-pays. Do you intend then to re-grant some of the $150,000 to someone who needs a co-pay?
Chair Butler, Representative Johnson, no. What this would do is to work with community groups to help them sponsor premiums and copays. In other words, there are community groups right now who are very interested in helping to sponsor the premiums and copays for the Oregon Health Plan. There does not exist the administrative mechanisms to help to do that. What this grant will allow us to do is to work with those community groups to be able to set up the mechanisms by which that can be done.
Thank you. One last follow-up. I think that's laudable, and I'm supportive of the grant application. I'm just trying to figure out how you stop putting a Band-Aid on a slit throat. And when this $150,000, which is a huge amount of money, but is really in the broader, in comparison with the need, is de minimis, What systemic fixes are we able to put in place with the community organizations that address the ongoing problem of the lack of copays or premiums, and that when this 150 is gone, the XYZ doing of good deeds company in Scappoose, that we don't all just say the money's gone and now we're finished. I'm hopeful that some work product of this will leave the doing of good not-for-profits out throughout Oregon with something more than an administrative structure that crumbles when the 150's gone.
Chair Butler, Representative Johnson, you're absolutely right. That's exactly what this grant is looking to do, is to put together self-sustaining administrative structures. There are examples around the country, for instance, in Washington State, of an organization that has managed to sustain itself doing exactly this. And the whole idea is to be able to replicate those kinds of structures here in Oregon, so that this is not money that goes towards putting something together which at the end of the grant program simply goes away.
And you say the state of Washington has developed this self-sustaining administrative structure?
There is a community in the state of Washington in Yakima that has put together a self-sustaining organization that has managed to help pay the premiums and copays for individuals on the basic health plan in Washington.
Mr. Chair,
and we could talk this issue for some time, and but there are a couple of pieces. One is that, because I'm looking at some legislative language, where you have organizations that, for example, labs, who would just as soon forego the copay because the administrative cost of it is a nightmare. And Florida has enabled legislation to allow those like Quest and those, and so we're going to go there. There's some pieces of this whole issue of copay that probably we should not have done when we passed the legislation, House Bill 2519, and that was done last session. So that's part of it. But I'd hate to see us get into a place where we're trying to put another Band-Aid on, and already I'm following Dr. Johnson, a problem that was created through some legislation that we did last session. So I am very hopeful that this will come back to us in more detail before final approval.
Undoubtedly, Senator, we'll see the need to go ahead and get appropriation authority for the $150,000 when it does come in, and that will most likely pass by your eyes and Senator Devlin's eyes at that particular point. So with that, I would appreciate that additional scrutiny so we can arrive at a level, as Representative Johnson has indicated, we're approaching $2 million and still do not have that level of self-restraining administration in the
state. We could have paid their premiums with that.
Well, I'd say some premiums for some. We need to be able to teach these folks how to fish at some particular point. So with that, are there any further questions relative to the grant application? Any objections to receiving the grant application and passing it to the full with a due pass recommendation?
Also move.
Okay. Senator Winters requests that we move this to the full with a due approve recommendation. Any objections? Hearing and seeing none, so ordered. With that, Senator Winters, will you represent that in full, please? Representative Johnson, with regard to House Bill 2172, will you take that to the full and to the House?
Sure.
And Senator Devlin, will you take it to the Senate? Thank you very much. With that, we will close the work session and close public close the general government subcommittee. And please take a look at your calendars. Tomorrow we have back up the successor to the Capital Planning Commission, House Bill 3597, for reconsideration. We'll need to suspend the rules tomorrow in order to do that. With that, we will close today, and we'll see you at 8:30 tomorrow. Thank you.